Okay, well, here we are. This is session number 38 in volume 5, and we're finishing up the second half of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, and we're thinking about being made new. Be made new. The Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to cover the details of the spiritual life of a believer in this whole letter to the Ephesians. He covers a matter, and then he covers it again, but from a slightly different angle or facet. He wants to be certain they understand each area covered as he leads them into the deeper parts of becoming victorious, to have a victorious life in Christ. That's what he's trying to do here. This is his whole purpose. And as you've noticed, it seems like every little bit, every few verses, Paul is repeating himself. But he wants to make sure that he says it in a way that everybody can get it. He wants all the Ephesians to understand and be blessed by it. It is in verse 17 of chapter 4 of this letter to the Ephesians that Paul urges the Ephesians to live, quote, no longer as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now, when he's talking about Gentiles there, he's basically talking about unbelievers. And he's talking about the futility of their thinking. If something is futile, then it's not worth doing because it doesn't have the result that you're looking for. It doesn't have the result that's desired. It doesn't have the result that's needed. And what Paul is going to be showing here is the difference between the futility of the thinking of the person who does not know Christ and the blessing and understanding of the thinking of the person who does. Now, Paul even goes as far as to say that he insists on it in the Lord, these things that he's telling them. He insists that they follow this in the Lord. Now, how many people today would be upset at hearing someone in ministry say they insist on anything? If Paul were with us today, as he actually is in this letter, many who claim to be Christians would see him as politically incorrect. You see, because there are people who would be just upset at the idea that, well, maybe it was futile thinking of somebody who wasn't a believer in Christ. They would immediately say that you were a prejudiced person, that you're a judgmental person, and this sort of thing. There are certain things in life that you have to make judgments about. Doesn't mean that you're unkind to other people, but there are certain things that you have to understand the difference between and make judgments about. It is in verse 18 that he goes even further to explain why there are those who are darkened in their understanding and separated from God. Now remember, the person who is an unbeliever is darkened in their understanding and they are separated from God, and they're darkened simply because they are separated from God, because in God there is real light. If you go back to the creation story, there was light before there was the sun and the moon. Very interesting thing. Where did that light come from? In God, there is light and understanding. And so he talks about that they're dark in their understanding and separated from God by two things. One, ignorance. Now, what is ignorance? Well, ignorance is something that can be cured by simply having the knowledge. Two, he says they have hard hearts. He explains, and by the way, I would point out to you that one of the major problems and the greatest causes of death in the Western world is heart trouble. It's heart trouble. So, he explains that as a natural consequence of these two ingredients, people lose all their sensitivity to a correct spiritual relationship with God and give themselves over to things which are ungodly. Yes, it's true. A loving God does not desire that anyone perish in an eternal hell. But some people will give themselves over to it using the very free will a loving Creator gave them. Now, let me cover that again. It is true that a loving God does not desire that anyone perish in an eternal hell. But some people will give themselves over to it using the very free will the loving Creator gave them. So, it's not God that causes them to spend eternity in the hell. It's themselves by their very own choices. You see, when these people get in that kind of a situation, they find themselves spiraling ever downward. The ignorant and the hard-hearted plunge into debauchery and destruction. Because there's no light in them. Their heart is hard. All they know is, this is what I want, and I want it now. That can be a problem even for Christians. Because they go to God in prayer and say, okay, God, this is what I want, and I want it now. We have to throw off that old way of thinking and say, God, what do you want, and what do you want from me now? That's the difference that has to occur in a person's thinking. So we have to come to know Christ. Paul lets the Ephesians know that they came to know Jesus Christ by being taught. They had opened their soft hearts, yearning to cure their ignorance by learning the truths of Jesus. They then accepted the truth. They didn't reject it, they accepted it. And put out of their thoughts and thus their behaviors the old self and manner of thinking, which had led their practice to deceitful desires, which had corrupted them. Now, notice what I said. They put out of their thoughts and thus their behaviors. Because your thoughts will determine your behaviors. You see? Because before something becomes a behavior, it becomes a thought. And it's the thoughts that you entertain which end up steering where you're going in life. Now, put on a new self, then, is what we're talking about here. You have to literally put on a new self, a new persona that is you. Curing their ignorance by being willing to be taught, they in fact had to put on a new self as a result of understanding a new way of thinking. I've used that example to you about driving a car. When you first start to learn to drive, you're thinking, oh, I have to remember this, and I have to remember that, and I have to know how this works, and I have to know how that works, especially if you're driving a standard chip car, if that's where you're learning. And then one day, because you practice doing that correctly, one day it's like second nature to you. You can get in your car, you start thinking about other things, you drive all the way across town and don't even remember how you got there. Because you were thinking about other things, because it was so automatic. That's what we have to do when we put on the new self. You see? Is we must put on that new self so that it becomes that second nature to us. Now, so, you put on that new self. Paul then lists some of the old ways of thinking and doing, which must be dealt with and removed by basically saying the principle of love your neighbor as yourself. You see, how do people know you're any different if you behave no differently than they do? If you can't tell the difference in the behavior of the believer and the non-believer, then what do you know? You know the new self was never acquired. You know that the heart is still hard and the mind is still in darkness. Because the things of God bring a soft heart because you've received grace and bring light. What's that light? That light is understanding so that you can have compassion for the person who's walking in darkness. Because they're basically blind, spiritually. they're not getting the benefit of understanding the things of God that they need to understand. That's why Paul even goes into some basic things as he goes into behaviors. He gets very specific in some of the behaviors. And he talks, for example, about anger. Now, most people think that a believer is never supposed to be angry. Paul doesn't say that here. Paul says here that in your anger, do not sin. You can be angry and upset about something. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and drove the money changers out. But he did not sin in his anger. Most people don't understand that. And you talk to a non-Christian, they'll very quickly tell you how you're supposed to behave and what you're supposed to believe and this sort of thing. But Paul didn't say that. But he speaks then of anger. And in that regard, what is permissible and what is not. When angry, do not step over into sin, you see. And don't let anger last more than a day. Get whatever it is, you can have righteous anger, but get it taken care of and move on. But don't hold grudges at people. Don't let people do the best you can not to have people hold grudges at you. You can't control what they'll do, but you can control what you'll do. You express it. You get it across. You do it in such a way as you avoid sinning in the process of that. And that's an important thing. Because if you don't, then you open a door to the enemy. And this will keep but if you do it properly, this will keep the devil from getting back in you via a foothold. Because you have to give him the foothold. And if you follow these things that Paul's saying, then the enemy is not going to get back to you and back in you through a foothold that you give. Now, Paul lists other behaviors to cease. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You see? But only what is helpful for building up others according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Does that mean that you're always icky, sticky, gooey, sweet about it? No, Paul wasn't. Paul named people, as you've heard me say. He would speak to people and say he had quite a disagreement and was angry with Peter, but he did not sin in that anger, but he dealt with the situation. Just as Jesus did when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. He was talking to the spirit that was motivating Peter. When he said to him, he says, well, what does it matter if John lives forever? You see, that's my choice. So Paul goes on then, and he talks about, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I sometimes wonder how many times I may have done that. I wonder how many times people do when they go back to God asking for things He's already given them. And they don't know it because of just sheer ignorance, because they have not been in the Word. They have not fully put on that new self. You see. He says, get rid of all bitterness. There's a difference, you see. If you're bitter while you're angry, that's a very different thing, you see, because that would be sin in your anger. Rage. You see, that anger, brawling and slander. In that anger, he's talking about the anger that has bitterness and rage and brawling and slander in it. Where if somebody's just mad at somebody and they go out and they just slander their character and say horrible things about them. And he says, along with every form of malice. And then, what does he talk about? He says, be kind. You see, he talks about the things that what Christ did for you. It is from Christ that those submitted will understand the need to forgive because they have received forgiveness. Many of you have heard me say that you can't give something away you don't have. I often encounter people who cannot give grace to other people. When they can't give grace to other people, I realize, how can they give grace? They think they've received it, but they never have. What they have is a religion, but they don't have a relationship with Christ. A relationship with Christ brings about the giving of grace because you think, oh my, if I can be forgiven for what I've done, how can I not forgive somebody else for what they have done? It is from Christ. It is from Christ that those submitted will understand the need to forgive because they have received forgiveness. I say to you, put on that new self. Give grace and forgiveness to others. And let that new self so surprise and in some cases shock people, but so ingratiate people to you that they don't know what you've got, but they want it too, because they're tired of being in darkness. They're tired of being in despair. They're tired of being angry. They're tired of snapping at people and having people snap back at them, because they want what you've got. Forgive because they have forgiven. You see, you forgive because you've been forgiven. And that's the teaching for this session.